Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 28. Any of you families that are visiting today, we're glad you're here. If you have need of a nursery, and we have a nursery in the back side of each wing with glasses there, you'll find everything you need. You make yourself at home, restrooms in both foyers and in the front. So we're just glad you're here this morning. Somebody said something about children making a mess. Well, if you went around with me and preached some places, you'd be glad to see the animal crackers on the floor and the goldfish on the floor. I thank God for the little ones this morning. And I'm ever appreciative of our Lord. And young families, I'm older now. I realize some things. Me and Renee, too, were where you are in many places in life. You may think that it's not important to get your children in the house of God, but it's very important. And the Lord does bless, and I'm thankful that He's ever faithful. If you have a Bible with you today, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 28, I'd like to read down. If you're willing and able, let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God today found in Matthew's Gospel. Start reading in verse number 1. Brother Mike, I want you to come read this text for me. Read verses 1 through 6 for me this morning. Matthew 28, 1 through 6. Let's have a little tag team preaching this morning. Somebody say amen.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men.
Yes.
And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.
Amen. Father, we love you today. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for our families and your goodness. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. I'm interested this morning, as Brother Mike has read our text out of Matthew's Gospel 28, I'm interested in verse number 6. The Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible says, he is not here. Watch the quote. For he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. I won't preach on this simple subject this morning. On he did as he said, he wouldn't stay dead. He did as he said, he wouldn't stay dead. You'll notice, first of all, the penalty the Lord loosed. Can I tell you, there's been a lot of men that's walked through this world, but there's only been one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, born of a virgin in a lowly stable, walked through the dusty roads of this old world without sin. Isn't that amazing? God-man. He was very much God and he was very much man. The Lord had him to go to Calvary's cross. He said, you know something? I'll go to the cross and I'll die, but I won't stay dead. On the third day, I will arise. And I'm glad this morning on this Easter celebration service, I'm glad we serve a God that didn't stay dead. You know, people that's worshiping Buddha this morning, they cannot say that. Those that are worshiping Muhammad, they can't say that. But we're worshiping a living Savior today. And I'm glad He's very much alive in my heart and in this place. You'll notice now, first of all, watch the penalty that the Lord loosed. Romans chapter number 5. Turn over to the right of your Bibles. Romans chapter number 5. Before I got up, I put a cough drop in my mouth. I'm going to try not to preach longer than that last. Some of you just hope it wasn't a quarter I put in my mouth. Somebody say amen. Romans chapter number 5. If we've ever lived in a day and hour where we need preaching, we need preaching in this hour. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, look what we have. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace, wherein by faith we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 6, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if then we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. Verse 12, the penalty the Lord loosed. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, Adam, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Can I tell you that Jesus came to pay a penalty that He did not owe, but He paid it for you and I. You know why? Because it was a sin debt. You and I could not pay that debt. But I'm glad that Jesus, on an old rugged cross, He died and shed His blood and paid for the sin debt of this whole world. I sure am glad He loves us this morning. And we notice within this text, there's a penalty that the Lord loosed. Turn, if you would, one chapter over to the right, Romans 6, verse number 9. Romans 6, verse number 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. Then, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The penalty the Lord loosed. I'm glad that He paid the penalty for me. I'm glad He paid the penalty for you. You'll notice this one man sinned in the garden. You say, preacher, why do I have this old nature in me that always wants to do wrong? Because of Adam's sin in the garden. You'll not have to go to Ancestry.com to see where that your generation went to, because we all go back to the garden, all from Adam. When he sinned, there the light of God went out in him. And therefore, everyone, every man, boy, and girl that's ever been born received that nature of Adam. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am." You know something, everybody on the sound of my voice this morning, we're all headed to the grave. I was thinking about Mary and Martha and Lazarus today in John 11. Their brother had died. Can I tell you, that's all coming to us. Young people, you're going to die and meet God. Older people, you're going to die and meet God, and so am I. But I'm glad there was a price paid. I won't have to die and go to hell in my sin. You say, preacher, do you believe in hell? I believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Can I tell you, friend? You say, well, I'll take my chances. You gamble with God, you'll lose. Die without Jesus, hell will be your home. There's one way to the Father this morning. That's not by a Baptist preacher. That's by no other human. That's by the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. that stood at Calvary's hill and watched it, got on that cross and died. And He died for you, and He died for me. You'll notice that He said in that text that Brother Mike had read, He simply said that He is not here, come and see and go quickly. Could we see the penalty the Lord loosed? But secondly, look at that text in Matthew 27. It's very interesting, the place the Lord laid. Not only the penalty the Lord loosed, but the place the Lord laid. Look at Matthew 27 and 57. There's a very interested Bible character comes on the pages of our Bible. For it says in Matthew 27 and 57, when the even was come, what's that? After that they crucified our Lord, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and he begged the body of Jesus. One of the other gospel writers referred to it as he craved the body of Jesus. He wanted the body of Christ. Brother Jamie preached here one Wednesday night on, wouldn't it be a blessing if we'd all crave the body of Christ? We are the body of Christ. Oh, how we all love the church and appreciate what God has done for us. But here, Joseph of Arimathea, he goes and he begs for the body of Christ. Look what he does. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. He laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher, and departed. There was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Preacher, what are you talking about this morning, the place where the Lord laid? Well, you'll notice this Bible character, Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible alluded he was a rich man. He had bought him a tomb. You might not realize that, but there had to be a lot of work done to that. They had to go in and chisel this room out, prepare the burying place. Boy, isn't that just like Christ? The place that we were going to die, the place that we were going to walk into, He took our place. I sure am glad that I don't have to die spiritually. This old body's going to lay down one day, friend, but that grave won't hold me. Why? Because Christ took my place for me. Some of you this morning, the devil showed you that it's over. You're done. Many of you, you've already picked out your tomb. You're picked out that where you're going to die. But can I tell you, in Christ this morning, there's hope in any situation. And so there, Joseph took him and gave him his dying place. I'd give you good advice this morning. You ought to give Christ the place where you planned on dying. Be sure you know Him. He'll give you a home in heaven this morning. Can I tell you, not only the penalty that the Lord loosed, the place the Lord laid, but thirdly, let's talk about this a moment, the people that the Lord loved. Look in John chapter number 11. There is nobody like our Lord. Here one of these Bible characters said something this morning that really stood up in my heart. Now I want you to see it. Follow along with me in John's Gospel chapter number 11. Talking about the people that the Lord loved. Has anybody told you lately that the Lord loves you? Has anybody ever told you that God loves you so much that He gave His Son on a cross to die for you? And here in John 11, we pick up a family. You that study your Bible, you know who they are. They're Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Here the Bible says a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Him saying, Lord, Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Talking about the people that Jesus loves. I'm glad Jesus loves all the little children. I'm glad Jesus loves all the mom and daddies. I'm glad Jesus don't look collectively at a huge number, but Jesus loves individuals. We find here, even though this family had a problem, Jesus loved them. Can I tell you, even though you love God, it does not mean that you're immune to trouble. But I'm going to tell you, they knew where to take their prayer to. They asked the Lord, and they said, Lord, my brother is sick. You know the story? The Bible says that Jesus stayed 2 days in the same place he was. Now I want you to look what I'm interested in. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. His sister, Lazarus, has died now. He stayed 2 days from when they sent for him. He comes back in. And so simply this character says something to Jesus. Look what she says. Verse 20, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, watch what she says, but I love, 22, underline it, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Give us some Christians that even now. That even now, Lord, things is happening, things is bad. Matter of fact, when Jesus left her, he met her sister. She said, Lord, it's no use in bothering this. By now he stinketh. He's done been dead 4 days. Can I tell you, a stinking situation don't bother Jesus. I'm glad he was interested in my life. When nobody else wanted me, I'm glad Jesus was interested in me. Somebody may throw you away. They may even throw you under the bus. But honey, Jesus loves you this morning. I don't like being thrown under the bus, do you? Somebody say amen this morning. Y'all act like Presbyterian. Say amen. Getting thrown under the bus, you know. I remember one time, a couple years ago, Sailor Reese and Sophie come in. They wanted to go swimming. It was still March. Pool temps about 59 degrees. Why, fish isn't even biting good yet. Somebody say amen. She said, Pop, I'd love to go swimming. Of course, Mimi sitting there said, y'all can't get in that pool. It's way too cold. So they got to talking with me, and I said, okay, I'll let y'all go out and wait a little. And Mimi said something before they left with me. Don't you get them kids' head wet. Don't you let them go under. So there's Sailor Reese and Sophie at the pool. They get on the first step and start stepping. Before long, you know what happened. Don't even have to explain it. They went under. They was just a shivering and their teeth is shaking. I said, Lord, I got to get these babies and dry them off. Got a towel and dried them off. And they got ready. We walked back in the house and their hair wet. And there's Mimi. And I'll never forget what Sophie said. Mimi said, I can't believe y'all got your hair wet. And Sophie said, Pop did it. Amen. Can I tell you this morning? I don't like being thrown under the bus, do you? But honey, let me tell you, somebody may throw you under the bus, but there's one that died on Calvary that loves us this morning, and he's soon to return for us. And it don't matter what you've done or how long you've been doing it, Jesus loves you this morning. Oh, give us some people. Underline this. It spoke volumes to me. Give me some people that even now, Lord, whatsoever thou ask of God, I know he'll do it. A lot of you, your homes has been wrecked. Satan has absolutely battled you and beat you and afflicted you. Why don't you have the faith and the purpose and hope that she had in her heart? That, Lord, even now, Lord, even now, would that get in us this morning, Lord, even now, no matter how bad it is, I know you can do anything. So today, he did as he said. The penalty the Lord loosed, the place the Lord laid, the people the Lord loved. Fourthly, the peace the Lord lives. John chapter number 20, notice this. The peace the Lord leaves. John 20, watch your Bible. About done preaching this morning. John 20, verse number 19. One of the greatest texts in John's Gospel. John 20, 19. Then the same day at evening. This was on Sunday evening. Being the first day of the week. For the doors were shut, for the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, saith unto them, peace be unto you. Can I tell you, you can look for peace in everything in this old world, but you'll never find peace till you meet Jesus. He said, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now notice they were assembled because fear of the Jews. The doors were locked. Jesus walked right on in. And the first thing he didn't say, shame on you, but he said, peace be unto you. I'm glad I know the great peace giver this morning. Many of you at night, when you pillow your head, you lay down without the peace of God in your soul. You wake up and you start your day in the pathway of life without the peace of God in your soul. But can I tell you, in 1981, when the Lord dealt with my heart and I responded to Him by faith, He put a peace in me that passes all understanding this morning. The peace, and only the peace, that the Lord leaves. But lastly today, not only the penalty that the Lord loosed, not only the place the Lord laid and the people the Lord loved, the peace the Lord leaves, but lastly, the promise that the Lord left. He left us a promise. The choir was singing about it this morning. Can I tell you, He keeps His promises? There's a big organization called the Promise Keepers, but I got a problem with that. I don't keep all my promises, do you? Now, I know, you know, you got your halos turned up. It's Easter Sunday morning, and you have no issues. But I tell my wife a lot, now, honey, I'll take care of that. I promise I'm going to do that. And I declare it never gets done. But can I tell you that Jesus has sworn with an oath, and He keeps all His promises. And I want you to see this promise. I'll get Miss Sherry to come. But the promise that the Lord left, it's you can find it in Acts chapter number 1 today. Here, the Lord, after He got out of the grave, I thought this was interesting. Some of you ought to study it. He spent 40 days with His disciples. I've often wondered what they did together. No doubt He was explaining to them, clarifying Scriptures with them. He stayed 40 days, so now He gets ready to leave. Look what He does. The Bible said, and verse number 4, He being assembled together, this is Acts 1, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He that you've heard of Me. Then verse 8, He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." The promise that the Lord has left. Do you know what he's promised? He's promised, "I'm coming back. You that's never spent any time around a Bible, maybe you've never heard much preaching, but I know enough about this book to tell you this: Jesus is soon to come. The signs of the time, we look." I could preach hours on just what's happening in our nation that's reflecting this promise that Jesus said. Jesus is coming. I used to hear it years and years ago from the old country preachers out in this part of the world. Jesus is coming. You know what? I believe Jesus is coming. When, I don't know, but I know this. He's coming. He's coming. You know what he's going to do when he gets here? According to 1 Thessalonians 4, all of us that are saved, we're going to be changed. In the moment of a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in there. That graveyard we've got out here by the tabernacle. Those that are saved, they're going to come up out of that grave. And we're going to go home to live with Jesus. You say, "Preacher, that's so bizarre." It may sound bizarre, but it's truth. Jesus is coming. You say, "Preacher, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to get saved." Well, I want to say this to you. You better be getting saved, because you're not staying here. There's a heaven to gain, hell to shun. Miss Sherry's going to play. I want to open up our altar today on this Easter Sunday. God's been so good to us, hadn't he? Seeing these little children.